Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom. Hello, 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 everyone. It is Sunday, October 28th. I'm Ilan Azulay, and we are here on the Abracadabra show, Create What You Speak. It's funny, every time I say show, I kind of stop on my tracks about the show because, well, you know, it's called a show because of the medium that it is, but it is really a discovery, it's a journey. So I don't know, maybe it will be the Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, the journey, because we are on a journey. And so we are here to discover. We are here to discover the gifts that we have and how to share it through language, through feelings and connections to ourselves. I'm an empowerment speaker and a spiritual mentor for women who desire to reclaim their power. And we use different modalities. This blessing in being here and sharing this everything with you is one of the modalities that we can use to expand our, I was going to say frame, but that means that we still stay in a frame, we're just expanding it. So is to find these little cracks in these frames that we create ourselves and really push it aside and open and create an opening so we can go through that frame. And I want to start with a daily prayer and a daily acceptance and gratitude. Hareini mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat aseh shel ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. I hereby accept on myself the due utterance, the command of love your neighbor, friend, colleague, partner, in the same way that you express love to yourself. And the focus is on ourselves first. The focus is first on ourselves. It's not coming from an egoic place. It comes from, first of all, a practical place. That if we're not authentic to ourselves, to what we feel and what we understand and recognize that is good for our own journey, we won't be in a place really to give ourselves fully to the other. And yet, also when we do help others, we are still in a growing process. It doesn't mean that, okay, now I'm done, I'm complete, I healed of everything and I can help you. We never stop healing. We always heal. And so as we help others, we help ourselves, because we are a reflection, we're a projection and a reflection of one another. And so today I'd like to talk about a couple of things. I will touch up again on what I left off last week, if I remember that. And then we'll talk about language and gratitude. It's very cool. So last week we finished off a topic that comes up, and it's really beautiful how things come up throughout the week through the experiences of meeting people or through the experiences of turbulences, if you will, or joy that leads to this end of the week, to the to the radio program, and also on Fridays, the videos that I put up on the channel every Friday. And so it's really interesting, and one of the topics that keeps coming up is why me, myself, as a man, works with women. What's you know, you see a lot of women groups that are happening, and there's a lot of healing that is happening in this relationship between the masculine and the feminine. It's not while it is a healing within each one of the sides, if you will, the feminine and the woman, or the man, the masculine. And again, we both have both. We both have masculine and feminine. And I like to say that I'm 51% masculine, 49% feminine. It's a lovely balance, and keeps it in harmony too. And so it's really important, you know, the healing is happening in the relationship. The healing needs to happen in the relationship between, let's bring it down here, let's say between, in a relationship between a man and a woman. And so, before I go on that, I want to give you my phone number here, so you can call and share, and we can discover things. It's 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. And so, the healing happens in the relationship. If you look at the relationship that you're in, and you are in the process of a divorce, or a process of disconnecting from a relationship that was toxic, it's not about who said, she said, we said, they said. It's about just the experience that you're going through. The experience that you're going through of exiting this relationship. Think about, and it's hard because you've been in a relationship for, could be a year, could be 4 years, could be 5 years, could be a few months. The effect that happened there happened for a reason, and it's there, and it affected you and affected your presence and your experience and your relationship to yourself. And so the healing is happening there in the relationship between you, to how everything is happening, how you are seeing this separation. So for example, if you take cotton and just throw it in a field of thorns. Now try to separate the cotton, the ball of cotton, from that plant, from that thorn, let's say from a cactus, right? You'll find it is very hard to keep that ball of cotton intact, because it keeps much of the cotton on the plant. And this is how it is in separation. We are already infused in a relationship. We are infused in a connection, whether it is toxic or not toxic. It's by nature. We're infused. We develop bonding. If it is a relationship that repeats certain patterns in the way that you choose your partner, then you have toxic bonding. Then you have a bonding from a place of a pattern, from a place of a need, from a place of something that is not conducive to your growth. It's still a bonding. So separating that is a trauma. It creates a trauma. Every trauma leads to change. And every change is traumatic, can create trauma. So when we are infused in a relationship and we are trying to separate that, we're going to leave part of us over there. It's hard to separate. it's hard to release that which we're familiar with. And that's okay when that happens. It's first of all to recognize that. It's to recognize it, that it happens. And when we recognize that it happens, then it is our choice how we are going about that, how we're going about healing that place. So when there is a separation, the healing happens in the relationship between you and your husband, or you and your wife, or you and your boyfriend, or partner. So the relationship is there. Now, thousands of years, this patriarchal existence really was, it's not that it's not important, but when something is important on the expense of the other side, then it becomes not equal in the sense, not that it's 50-50, but not equal in its validity. And on the, in the eyes of the oppressor, of course, and then eventually in the eyes of the oppressee. And so over the centuries and in our lifetime and in history, we can see how the feminine, how women were really oppressed, and it seeped into the patterns of the generations. The patterns of the generations. There is a sentence that that is a sentence in Judaism that comes from the Gemara, and it says, "Avot achlu boser veshine banim tikehena," which translates to, "The fathers ate unripe fruit, and the teeth of their sons became brown." So that's the literal explanation. And you know, when we eat, if we eat an unripe fruit, let's say you take a pear that is not ripe, and you eat unripe fruit, your teeth can become brown because of what is happening there, and it's not being ripe. And so the analogy here is that our actions here and our behavior and adaptation passes on to generations. So if we are rigid in our existence, and we are a certain kind of person, that goes down to our generations. It's not something I'm inventing. This goes through our generations, and that's where we find ourselves in these journeys to reclaim our power. So, are you ready to reclaim your power? Are you ready to reclaim your power as a woman? Not from an egoic place, not from a place of, oh, up until now, thousands of years, men controlled us. Now we are going to control back. It is not about control. It is about the equilibrium and the harmony. Now, granted, think about a piece of paper. If you take a piece of paper and you fold its edge, you know, give it an ear, right? You fold it all the way to the left. If you want it to become straight again with the paper, you can't just take it back to the center and say, okay, now we want equality, so we're going to be equal. And because the paper will fold back to its folded state. So what we have to do really is fold the piece of paper to the other side completely. And then we can straighten the paper, right? So that bend becomes kind of equally bended on both sides. And so, and this is how I see it is. It will go to the extreme opposite, the 180 degrees, like it started with different feminist movements, and this is not in any way to take away from the power to put this down. God forbid. No, this is not that. It is the recognition that it went completely to the other side, or it's in the process, or there are symbols and signs like these that it's happening. Signs like this that it's happening. And so what is happening here, actually? What is happening is that there is not healing yet, or it's in the process, but there is still the wound that is still bubbling, is still active between men and women, or between women and men. And so there is a need. The need to do the healing is exactly with the other side. You don't do countries don't do peace. I mean, this is a whole patriarchal world anyway, but the countries don't do peace with a country that is already peace with. Do peace with the country that has a different point of view, to put it mildly. And so the same thing with men and women. And this is why I feel blessed to do this work. I feel blessed to be a guide. I feel blessed to hold circles and to do and to hold it through sound and sound healing and words and guided meditation or guided imagination. Because I see and I feel the need that as a man, as myself, I have been through on both sides of the of what I'm talking about. The importance of men to come to this place of recognition, and also for women to come to this place of recognition that the healing has to be with one another and not, okay, we are separate, we are creating women's circles, not inviting men, or not embracing men in a way that we want to create healing, to cultivate healing. I'm not saying everybody's like that, but there is much of that. Instead is to create these circles that infuse the relationship with understanding and co-creation. Because we're talking about co-creation, right? We're talking about bringing everybody together, remembering, bringing our members, our bodily members, our spiritual members, our external members, like our partners or somebody that we had something going on with. Ended well and it didn't end well, any of that. And is to do the healing there. Now if you've been, maybe you've been in a situation where there was a separation and one person is still upset or really upset with the other side, and the other side moved on or understood things or rose in vibration, and it could be a man or a woman, either side. And there is this anger that is being held towards that person, towards that ex, right? While there are valid points, probably, dissatisfaction, anger, perception that things were done maliciously or purposefully, the anger stays with you. You keep yourself in that frame of anger, and it's really putting the direction, the attention on the outside. Again, there are things probably that are valid in that past relationship, but currently this, and also before, anger would not serve you to heal that. It is only your relationship with yourself and understanding what has happened, and that the healing has to happen in that relationship that you have with the ex, in that relationship that you have with your ex-husband, in relationship that you have with the ex-boyfriend, that the healing is there. And also if it is a man that you don't know, but what is happening, the projection of your experience with that person is limiting your wider gamut, the wider gamut of colors. And the way that it's being expressed is with your thoughts, and then eventually the words. And with the words, you create your world. With the words, you create sometimes that which you don't want, because you put your focus on it. You exist regardless of anybody else. You exist because your gift in this world is more than you can imagine. Your gift in this world is here to serve you, is here as a gift for you. You got a gift. You got a gift. How thankful are you? And realizing that your happiness doesn't depend on anybody else. You are the queen of the forest. You are the lady of the forest. This is Keren Malka. And this song is called Lady of the Forest.
Shepherd,
Lady of the Forest. The video is very beautiful. Two women in the video, and they emerge, going out and in, out and in, out and in. You know, exit, entering a story, going out, separation, so we can come together again. It's like the diamond. We start in the bottom, in one, and we separate, so we can come together at the top again. So we are going through this separation process. Through the separation process, so we can come back. So we can come back together. So language, you know, language. I love language. I love language. I always did. I remember since I was a child and in school. It's funny, in school, the classes about the language are called tongue classes. It's funny you say it in English, but it's really it, because if you don't have a tongue, really can't really create words, right? So I loved language. Language is like, a frame mind, a descriptive. It's not only descriptive, but eventually it's also generating. It's a generative, you know, words that we create, letters that we use. It's like, and in Kabbalah, it's really our soul. The body is our, as if you take a shrink wrap, you put a plastic over something and you shrink wrap it, right? It gets the shape of that which it shrink wraps, right? It's like you take a marshmallow, right? And you dip it inside a warm chocolate, right? The chocolate gets the shape of the marshmallow, whether it is twisted, not twisted, it gets that exact shape. And this is how our body is shaping our soul, shaping our spirit, shaping our spiritual existence here. Because it's the spirit that holds the matter, not the other way around. And so language is like this creation that we are creating, describe that which is really indescribable. It's like it's the feeling. It's like going to a restaurant and reading the menu. Right, the menu is the clothing. The menu is the language of that experience. The menu is the language of the dish. The menu puts words, and you read it, and yes, it's only informational. And you can try and associate how it may taste like. We can imagine how it may taste like based on your previous experiences, but really, until you taste the dish, you're not fully immersed in it. So we can have a descriptive, we can have words that are descriptive, the descriptive of a certain experience. But for example, in that case, unless we experience that experience, our words are just a frame. So our words really can, the words that we use, the language that we use, and it depends if you're in English, Hebrew, there are different spiritual connotations to each language. We're really creating a reality. This is what this program is about. This is what our journey, in a great part, is about. It's about creating as we speak, creating what we speak. Our words create what we experience. And when we focus on something that doesn't help us, doesn't serve us, when we are in a negative space, when we are past a relationship, when we are in a place of still self-doubt and questioning ourselves, the words that we produce are the beginning of the journey to come out of the situation that we are. But many times we stay up in our procrastination, so we can say words but we don't do action. So it's not only words. So words in the beginning create what we want, what we choose, where we're going. And then our action is what manifests what we can do. What we can do towards our goal. So our words, King Solomon said, life and death, that's the tongue's mercy. And it's really like that. I grew up with a family with, my parents come from Morocco, so I grew up with a family that words and certain sayings and certain blessings or all kind of concoctions of different sentences created a reality, created an existence, or removed an obstacle. But that's on certain levels. That's on different levels. And but we on our day to day, what we say is what we create. Abracadabra is in Aramaic, actually. It's associated with, oh, poof, I have a rabbit out of my hat. But it's really in Aramaic. And it literally means I create what I speak. In Hebrew, it says literally, I create as I speak. But the as I speak refers to what I speak. So what I speak is being created. And this is a blessing. All this, from my experience, being on the radio program, hosting circles, working with people, helping, seeing how people transform and shift, bringing the gifts that God gave me, that the Creator, that the universe have made available for me in my journey. These crayons that I received to paint my picture. For some of us, it takes longer than the others. That has to do only with that particular journey, not with a certain intelligence, this or the other. Yes, there are things that we do or we don't do. We may miss opportunities or we may create something that is, if we're unaware of it, can create havoc. We can praise somebody, and we can also bring that person down. Our words, how we say that, how we say that which we want to say, anything, how our words are affecting the relationship. And again, the relationship is between the man and the woman in this case, and that is also where the healing is. So if the healing is between the masculine and the feminine, the relationship between them, between the man and the woman, the relationship between each side is recognizing and understanding their contribution to this, to whatever cacophony happened, or whatever joyful experience happened. Much of it happened because of words and how these words were used to express this thing or the other. And so the first step in recognizing and starting to reclaim your power and starting to reclaim that which you are on a spiritual level feel so good and so comfortable in doing is recognizing, is the acceptance and the understanding of the words that you say and how they affect anything and everything. It's like the experiment with the water, with the Masaru Emoto, that did the experiment with the water. One group said beautiful things, encouraging things, loving things, classical music, on the other group, trash music, metal music, words of discouragement, hate, and all this kind of stuff, negative stuff. And the first group of water shaped into beautifully aligned geometrical shapes, and with the other group turned into brown splat. So if we are more than 80% water, and we talk to ourselves the way that we talk to ourselves, how do we feel? Many times if we are in a negative space, talk down to ourselves, judge our past experiences with eyes of today, and we judge ourselves in those moments, we're putting ourselves down, then our body feeling, our bodily feeling, very shortly follows suit with how we talk to ourselves. So as a tip, or as a sharing that just came now, but it's something that I talked about, many times when we get stuck in our procrastination, when we talk to ourselves, it is hard to get out of that procrastination, because we say, okay, when I feel good, I'll do that. One important thing is, when we are in that state, do something with your body, anything. Anything. Clean the floor, clean the dishes, open the door, go out to the sun, go fill a cup of water, drink that cup of water, go make a toast. Do something that takes you out of that state of mind. Because it is a state of mind. It is a state of mind how you tell yourself to be. You're stating yourself, you're situating yourself in a certain place. So our words are creating our reality. We take these words into another area of thank you, of gratitude. How many times did you experience that when somebody gives you a compliment about how you look, how you feel, how what you do, the work that you've done, the enormous gifts that you give others, how many times do you find yourself telling yourself, oh, that's not important, nah, that's okay, I'm on the way anyway, so I have no problem, nah, that's okay, don't be, no, no big deal, right? You know who you are listening to this. How many times do we tell this to ourselves? Yeah, I'm listening to myself too. Sometimes I do that. But when somebody says that, gives us a compliment, it is hard many times to say, to look at the person and say, thank you. Thank you for seeing this. Thank you for giving me a compliment. Many times, because we see this as an egoic gesture. Oh, if we say thank you, then we're making it about me. Well, here's the thing, darling. This is not, it is about you, and yet it is not all about you. Saying thank you, first of all, is recognizing the other person on what they did. It's like getting a gift. You have a party, you have a wedding, you have a bar mitzvah, you have whatever. Somebody comes to your party, hands you a box, gives you a gift. You don't know what's in the box, and it doesn't matter. You don't know what's in the box. It could be just whatever. You say, thank you. So what did you do here? You're actually, first of all, thanking the person for making an action, taking an action, showing up at your place, driving, coming to celebrate with you your creation. Let's say whether it's a wedding or bar mitzvah, or your creation of your child, or your achievement of a certain thing. And you are getting a compliment. And so you're getting a gift. So you're saying thank you. And it's the same thing with a compliment. First of all, the person recognized you. Something that maybe takes you a little longer to see, and takes us a little longer. It's we are in these places sometimes. But when you understand that, first of all, you are recognizing that person who made an effort, came and gave you a gift, and sees who you are, and thanks you for the experience that they are experiencing. They are thanking you for the experience that you invited them to be part of that experience. You did something for them. You ran around town. You picked up their dogs, or their kids, whatever that is. Or you're just being you, and somebody meets you and tells you you are beautiful. And somebody tells you you are talented. Wow, this is a great gift. So the first instinct, sometimes you say, oh, well, yes, it's because you don't want to be looked at. Oh, and the question is by whom, right? Looked at because this is only what you think, that the other person will look at you as an egoistical person. But it's really you. It is really you. Not in the sense of like it's your fault. No, it's just, it's us. What we think the other person said. But if the person really thought that we're egoistical, they wouldn't give us a compliment to begin with, right? For the most part. So that's one thing. But then the second thing, the second point is you. The second point is for you. Because what is happening here? You receive the gift. You receive a compliment. This is a compliment to recognize the gift that you already received. The gift that you already received of being talented. Getting the gift of being talented the way that you are. With those specific tools, with those specific instruments that you have. With those specific feelings that you have and that, how you can express it. So you're getting a compliment, you're getting a gift to recognize that gift. Now, if you know that these are gifts that you received in order to give to others, in order for that to be for others, then the thank you is not from an egoistical place. It's not about me, myself, I, and moi. It is about recognizing that which you received that brings joy, that brings beauty to the other person. And it is to recognize yourself, to say thank you to yourself, to recognize who you are, because the healing starts there. And when the healing starts with you, and you're grateful for what you have, and you're grateful for the experiences that you are experiencing, positive and what appears not to be positive, but it is all positive. It is all for the good of your journey. It is all for you. So when you recognize that, when you recognize you, the light that you are, you're not defined by what you do. Who you are defines what you do. Recognizing who you are, recognizing these gifts, recognizing that these gifts are here for you to be present in and to flow it to the other. And how many times you've been with somebody that you've given gifts to them, you've talked to them, they were through a hard place, and you were there and you just listened, and you're just all heart, and they say thank you to you. You see, they say thank you to you because you guide them, you help them, you've been there a friend, you've lent your ear, you've lent your heart to be for them. And they say thank you, recognizing you. There is the language again, there is the words, the essence in the words. It's about the essence in the words, the intention in the words, and how we use these words. And how we use these words to bring peace, to bring love, to engender all these beautiful creations that we are and that you are. And so you are recognizing your gifts. It is not it doesn't have to be. It can be egoistic, or it can be about me, 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 self, and I. But this is not what it is about. It is about recognizing this, these gifts from a place of gratitude. From a place of gratitude of what they can become. What you can become in the other person's life. How you are transforming the other person's life. And so words, the letters that we use are powerful. They create, they're generating, and they put us in a state of gratitude when we use these words in this fashion, when our intentions are aligned with the words, our thoughts are aligned with the words, our thoughts. We are not our thoughts, but the thoughts that we are experiencing, the feelings that we are experiencing. When we recognize that as a gift to serve to the other, then our words become powerful. Our creation is at its core, at its essence, beautiful, radiating, powerful. And this is what I send you with today. With words, the words that encourage, that engender this love to us, to you, to the other, to the world, to your community, to your partner, to your lover. We're all here to co-create. With love to you, I will play some of Matti Kaspi words, and I invite you to come to my website on bodysoulsound.com and on Facebook/bodysoulsound. And here is words from Matti Kaspi and Ehud Manor. Have a wonderful week. Make it magic. Abracadabra. I love you. Have a beautiful day. שנשלח
מתרגשת לי.